Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. What an amazing set of news that I couldn't talk yesterday about because I was on YouTube. I tried to do a YouTube exclusive, but look what happened. The YouTube exclusive got automatically uploaded to my Odyssey channel because of an old setting that I had, which was to automatically copy my YouTube videos. It's unbelievable. You try to do a YouTube exclusive, and Odyssey is there, still executing its old scripts, which I didn't think about anymore. I published so little on YouTube at this point that I didn't think there was an auto-update function, but it was there, so it's not a YouTube exclusive anymore, what we did yesterday. Cloud Warmer sends 25 LBC, says, I would like to extend a warm welcome to any new visitors who are YouTube cucks. Remember to support JF with white. Our selected large caliber donations or Cloud Warmer K-selected long-term slow drip feed of LBC. Either way, you want high-quality autistic content to continue. Give up your money, cucks. Well, thank you for this super chat, Cloud Warmer. Now, yeah, LBC, I have big hopes. Because the SEC decision on the punishment that will be given will come tomorrow. It might crash Library Link from a corporate perspective, but no matter what, I think that going forward, the blockchain will survive in some form. They will restart a company or something. So I think that there is a great future starting tomorrow for LBC. Cloud Warmer says, JF, can you remind me what version of Gatorade were you drinking during your fast? I'm fasting right now and yelling at neighbors while chugging filtered water is not helping. Yeah, Gatorade Zero. So you take Gatorade Zero because there's no sugar. And I had three colors. I had the grape in purple, I had the lemon in yellow, and I had the pink one. The pink one is the best one. It berry something, I don't know. So yeah, a mix of these. It keeps you very, very calibrated, because I think a lot of the suffering in fasting is not so much the lack of calorie. It's the lack of equilibration with ions and stuff like this. And your body, when it's missing these ions, it reacts solidly. It reacts by making you really hate that moment. Kenzie says, we love you, JF. Thank you so much. Sentient Potato says, Joaquin Phoenix, say his name! JF, what I just did. Now what? Now what? All right, this guy is hilarious. This guy is renting and returning 10 books a day from his local library while subtly increasing the size of his cranium with latex and makeup until they say something. I would love if that's true. I don't know if this is a troll or if he's doing it for real. Oh my god, he goes back to the library every day and his brain is growing. Oh my god, there has to be a point where they say, bro, what's happening here? Dino Logovic says, JF makes sense every time someone buys a zero. Oh my god, I wish, because I see the Gatorade Zero at Walmart. They sell it for a lot. It costs a lot to buy Gatorade Zero. It's like $20 for a pack of, I don't know, 18 of them. It's a high cost elitist drink. This guy, I cannot believe this guy. This guy was working for the government. A felony arrest warrant has been issued for Biden energy official Sam Brinton for allegedly stealing luggage from the Las Vegas airport. I cannot believe they have video of him. This guy is paid a lot of money, I presume. He's in charge of nuclear security or something like this. But there he is stealing a luggage. And on the video, although they don't show it in the news, they say, well, there he is. They don't show the video playing in the news, but they say he can be seen checking the luggage name, checking around if no one is looking, and running with it. And apparently he had previous crimes of that type, like stealing randomly stuff from others. And now he's getting sued by the guy, by the lady who owned the luggage. Look at that t-shirt. Yeah, it's the Soy Boy. It's the unironic Soy Boy I fucking love science t-shirt plus the LGBT flag. This guy was paid certainly a very high salary for his position as a director of nuclear security, and he got placed there as part of the Biden, you know, Biden administration trying to pack the most LGBT activists possible in the administration to reward their voting base. And he can't help himself but to steal luggage. Yeah, luggages were stolen both times. What the fuck is wrong with someone like this? Elon is incredibly based, according to Neon Revolt. Indeed, Elon is going full QAnon. I mean, no limit. He's now suggesting that Yoel Roth was one of the reasons for the child pornography problem of Twitter, for not acting quick on this. And he goes back to the thesis of Yoel Roth, where he appears to suggest that he supports a mixing of LGBT dating platforms with minor social media so that the two can collide. I mean, it is creepy. So Donald Trump was commenting, the Twitter releases are a revelation in that they show in a very powerful fashion the FBI and justice illegally colluding, proving conclusively in one more very powerful way that the 2020 presidential election was rigged and stolen. What everyone is really waiting to see, however, is the Twitter information and thought process leading up to the time of the so-called election Elon Musk was announcing coming soon. And look at this. Someone unearthed an old tweet of Yoel Roth, who was the head of safety and trust at Twitter. Yoel Roth may have been one of these, yes, these pedos and filtering, pedos, high-level elites slash links with the FBI intelligence agencies and filtering big tech. Skeptic sends $25. Thank you so much for the support. He says, bonjour, Papa and Mama JF. I rarely get to see your streams live. Just wanted to say hello and thanks for the content. Well, thank you so much for the support. So Elon Musk comments, this explains a lot, to a tweet by Yoel Roth in 2010 saying, can high school students ever meaningfully consent to sex with their teachers? So the suggestion that, hey, maybe it's not so bad that there are teachers fucking high school students, because, hey, maybe consent could be extended to that kind of situation. Elon Musk says, looks like Yoel is arguing in favor of children being able to access adult internet services in his PhD thesis. What a bold move by Elon Musk to be publishing information about an ex-employee of Twitter. And look at what Yoel was saying in his PhD thesis. I mean, this shows you the level of degeneracy that is now elevated within our universities. He says, but it's worth considering how, if at all, the current generation of popular sites of gay networked sociability might fit into an overall queer social landscape that increasingly includes individuals under the age of 18. Even with the service's extensive content management, Grindr may well be too lewd or too hookup-oriented to be a safe and age-appropriate resource for teenagers. But the fact that people under 18 are on these services already indicates that we can't readily dismiss these platforms out of hand as loci for queer youth culture. Rather than merely trying to absolve themselves of legal responsibility, or worse, trying to drive out teenagers entirely, service providers should instead focus on crafting safety strategies that can accommodate a wide variety of use cases for platforms like Grindr, including possibly their role in safely connecting queer young adults. This is QAnon levels of conspiracy, but it's true. It's true. There were people controlling big tech, interacting with the FBI, and on top of it, these people happen to have published a thesis in PhD at the doctoral level that was saying, hey, how can we extend this whole idea of Grindr to younger people? I mean, maybe we can remove the hookup, maybe we can remove the dating aspect of these platforms, but how do we get it into the hands of 14 years old, 16 years old? That is what he was referring to in his Twitter, in his thesis. And this guy ends up at the head of Twitter censorship, controlled by the FBI, as the releases have been exposing under the Twitter thread, Twitter files, level 3. Matt Taibbi is now the releaser, the removal of Donald Trump. So the Twitter files 3 document. All of the interactions within Twitter as the decision was made to ban Donald Trump. And I don't think this Twitter file, I don't think it's so interesting because of Donald Trump. I don't think it matters that much. I think what's super interesting in this Twitter release is the interaction with the FBI. Because it's becoming clear from these releases that the FBI was the master of puppets. They were telling Yoel Roth what to do. Yoel Roth was bringing it into the team, and the team knew very well, this is an FBI request. Let's ban these people. Now, this is an absolute violation of the First Amendment, and I don't know if there is a way for people to get reparations for this, but their First Amendment were just violated because it is not the job of the FBI to decide what is true, what is not, what is discussable, what is not discussable. So the first few releases are about, okay, they're talking among themselves. As soon as they finished banning Trump, Twitter execs started processing new power. They prepared to ban future presidents and White Houses, perhaps even Joe Biden. The new administration, says one exec, will not be suspended by Twitter unless absolutely necessary. So they are talking about basically allowing the White House Twitter account back when it's Joe Biden that controls it. Twitter executives removed Trump in part over what one executive called the context surrounding actions. That's an interesting one because we get to see whenever these leftists bring in context, it's a way to slip in their double standards. So it's like, oh yeah, the tweet may not violate our rules explicitly, but understanding the tweet in its societal context and the context that Trump has been pushing for violence for so long, then we can interpret it as an incitement for violence. I, Vijaya, I'm working with blah, blah, blah on my team to put together a doc to share with you with a point of view from research, hours, academics with whom we have been working, etc. On Donald J. Trump's language as coded incitement to further violence. So here's some academic research showing that when Donald Trump says one thing, he actually means another thing. Unbelievable. If you need academics to research coded language encodings of what Donald Trump is saying, maybe it's just not violence. Have you ever considered this? In the meantime, here is our quick take. The decision on whether to pull that particular tweet or use that as a last straw for Trump depends on many factors, including one, the overall context and narrative in which that tweet lives. We currently analyze tweets and consider them at a tweet-by-tweet basis, which does not appropriately take into account the context surrounding. You can use the yelling fire into a crowded theater example. Context matters, and the narrative that Trump and his friends have pursued over the course of this election, and frankly the last 4+ years, must be taken into account when interpreting and analyzing that tweet. The last 4+ years is definitely a comment of political bias, because Trump didn't talk about election interference and integrity for 4 years. You're basically saying you don't like his policies. So because you don't like his policies of the last 4 years, you're going to be more prone to banning him for his current tweet, which doesn't violate the rules. The larger question is around our moral imperative and decision as a company, which user sentiment should not drive based on number one. So basically, we will ignore the input from the world. It doesn't matter that we're pissing off people, we're going to do it. We will continue because there is starting to be, at tweet number 11, we get to see Yoel Roth in action with his FBI interactions, and oh my god, is that a clear violation of the First Amendment. But Cloud Warmer has sent a super chat. He says, JF, the far left has again spent years gaslighting anyone right of the far left, that all of these accusations are based in schizophrenia or made up on 4chan. And yet here we are yet again. It's all so tiresome. Absolutely. I mean, but you cannot be frustrated that the most out there ideas in the right turn out to be true. I mean, down to the dream that there is a circle of pedophile elites controlling everything. They were. That was true, as we've seen, as we will see in the case of Yoel Roth. So, no, I mean, you have to celebrate those victories, because yes, there's been gaslighting. Yes, they keep lying. But you have to celebrate when you can prove to them that, no, there is a bunch of very evil people that control speech in America. Balloon Nut sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, I copied you, and I now drink Gatorade Zero while fasting. But I purchased the powdered version from Amazon, which makes it cost about 8 cents per bottle. Are you excited for Armored Core 6? Well, if I can get Gatorade Zero in powder form, that would be awesome. I'll go check out on Amazon, because I didn't know this. But yeah, is it called Gatorade Zero, or is it an alternative brand? I'll go check it out, and if I can get that price, of course I'll do it. I mean, we have a well with superb water, so water is not the problem. The problem is electrolytes. It's got electrolytes. That's what I like about Gatorade Zero. Armored Core 6, I haven't heard about it. From the title of that game, it doesn't seem like something I will play. I play ridiculous games. Ridiculously old, repetitive games. I play Dota. I play a game recently, a little combat game, but not military combat, like puppets fighting between one another, and that's pretty much well, and Fortnite at some point, but I don't play it anymore. I will not play a super high complex, graphically complex game, because it's just not what I have fun doing. Honest Raccoon says, thoughts on dentists? Do you yourself get dental fillings to treat small cavity though nothing hurts, or only go to a dentist when something hurts, such as for a root canal? How often do you go to dentists? Well, I'm going to start going to the dentist regularly because I'm super satisfied with what I've had as a service last week. Last week, I went to the dentist and I went 4 days in a row, just fix this part of the mouth, this part of the mouth, this part of the mouth, this part of the mouth. And every time a new day, I was going to the dentist and I was like, yeah, schedule me as soon as possible. And I have a great improvement in quality of eating life. I really enjoy what they did because I was starting to have food getting stuck between my teeth. It was re relatively hard to pass the floss, and the floss would get stuck. And the repairs are just perfect. I really love what has been done to my mouth. That being said, I haven't gone to the dentist very often. The last time I got to the dentist before last week was maybe 7 years ago. Then I had a crown made in a root canal for a teeth in the back because my teeth was like half eaten by bacteria. But that's the only crown I have, and before that time, I may have spent 10 years without going to the dentist. So I've done 10 years. I had to have this crown and the fixing of small cavities. Then 7 years without dentist. Then I had about seven cavities fixed last week. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to go every year, and I will go every year going forward because I realize that I've spent so many years having imperfect teeth, and it feels so good to eat with all perfect teeth where you can trust all parts of your mouth. Because when you start having a part of your mouth that's a little hurtful, or you feel that a past cavity repair filling is becoming loose, you start not using that part of the mouth. And that is annoying. You have to think a lot while you eat. You have to be like, okay, let's put the food to the right. I'm super happy with, and the cost wasn't so high. I think I've spent for the 4 days of repair, I spent 1,200 Canadian. So that's totally reasonable, given that I've not went there for 7 years. I don't mind spending that money to get the comfort. JF, do you have intact wisdom teeth, or did you have them removed? To what degree do you think wisdom tooth removal is a scam? I don't have a strong opinion. I haven't got them removed. My brothers, I think, got them removed. I don't know about it. I don't. They claim that it's for pressure toward the center of your mouth. I don't have a strong opinion. I got sealants in my wisdom tooths, just so that they aren't deep. They don't lead to much cavities. But other than this, I don't think you should remove them unless you have a reason to do. General Irreverence says, I will never understand this thing people have about buying fizzy corporate sugar slash fake sugar drinks. Electrolytes my ass. You are a revolutionary thinker in a world of darkness, my friend. Keep up your fight. In a way, I support you, but I'll keep buying it. Matt Taibbi continues his publishing about the Yoel Roth behavior. Yoel Roth says, so internal Slacks show Twitter executives getting a kick out of intensified relationships with federal agencies. Here's Trust and Safety head Yoel Roth lamenting a lack of generic enough calendar descriptions to conceal his very interesting meeting partner. So here they're basically discussing about hiding the fact that it's the federal government intervening in speech by blurring the calendar reservations that he has. It happens. I'm a big believer in calendar transparency, but I reached a certain point where my meetings became very interesting to people, and there weren't meeting names generic enough to cover. Anyway, let me know. And someone suggests as a meeting name, very boring business meeting that is definitely not about Trump. And Yoel Roth says, pretty much. Definitely not meeting with the FBI, I swear. Someone answers, laughing my ass off. These guys are making jokes about hiding to the public the fact that the federal government is oppressing their speech. It's funny to them. That's how they act in private. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, did you see that part 4 of the Twitter files is currently getting released? My God, it's an every night work reviewing these Twitter files. Michael Schellenberg has started releasing Twitter files part 4. No, I hadn't seen it, but I'll be following up after I'm done reviewing the Yoel Roth FBI case. So we'll do that tonight. Thank you for sending me the link. Executives opened the channel called US 2020 XFN Enforcement, clearly related to the election. Through January 6th, this would be home for discussions about election-related removal, especially ones that involved high-profile accounts, often called VITs or very important tweeters. Hey everyone, starting tomorrow until November 15th, this channel will be used for the following reasons related to the US 2020 elections: trends identified that require scaled investigation, high-profile accounts, blah blah blah. The latter group were a high-speed Supreme Court of moderation, issuing content rulings on the fly, often in minutes, and based on guesses, gut calls, even Google searches, even in cases involving the president. So here Donald Trump was tweeting 50,000 Ohio voters getting wrong, absentee ballots, out of control, a rigged election. And someone in the Twitter team says a rigged election would be enough to be in violation, right? Yoel Roth says, if the claim of fact were inaccurate, yes, but it looks like that's true. So Yoel Roth did his research here. Oh, an NPR article says it's true. Therefore, Donald Trump is right. Therefore, we can't ban him for that tweet. The problem with these Google searches is that you have a part of the media that is specialized in making things look true and making things look false. And bizarrely, they are sometimes referring to themselves as the fact checkers. And Wikipedia plays a role in this also, in where you have mainstream media that write hit pieces. Wikipedia recycles those hit pieces to create an impression that, oh, this guy is evil, like me. Or this guy is good. So Google searches being enough for Yoel Roth to decide what the truth is and therefore not ban Donald Trump in that particular case. Policy director Nick Pickles is asked if they should say Twitter detects misinfo through ML, human review, and partnerships with outside experts. That is direct evidence of collusion to hide information from the public about the federal government's involvement here. He's asking, should we really include this part that says partnerships with outside experts? And another employee answers, I know that's been a slippery process, so not sure if you want our public explanation to hang our hat on that. In other words, do you want us to hide this from the public? Nick Pickles answers, can we just say partnerships? I.e., not sure we describe the FBI / DHS as experts, or some NGOs that aren't academic. In other words, this guy was like, I don't know if we can call the FBI experts. I mean, they do censor people through us, but I don't know if we could call them experts. And the other guy was asking him, should we hide this from the public? Absolutely disgusting bunch of people here that were colluding to let the federal government get what they want through the Twitter team. Major post, a list of posts here confirmed that Yoel Roth was meeting with the FBI weekly sync meeting with FBI, so Federal Bureau of Investigation, Department of Homeland Security, and Director of National Intelligence regarding election security. So basically regarding whether they would want Trump banned, whether they would want fans of Trump banned for claiming that the election was fraudulent. Here we have Yoel Roth being very unhappy and being sorry that he cannot attend the weekly meeting on that particular week with the FBI and DHS because he has something else to do. He has to go at Apple and at the Aspen Institute thing, and he has to go at Apple to avoid getting themselves kicked out of the App Store. So he was playing big guy, trading information, but on that particular week, he wasn't able to go to the federal government to ask who he should ban. If you doubt that the FBI's intervention was having causal effects on banning, the Twitter employees were talking among themselves and they were talking about, this report comes from the FBI. We just got a report from the FBI concerning two tweets related to the shredding of mail-in ballots. Do we have a moment ready for this one? So basically, direct request from the FBI saying these two tweets down. And the Twitter team is on it and they know that it's a request from the FBI. So they know that they are participating to a network of First Amendment violation. And here's the tweet that was mentioning ballots that were found in trash or whatever. And eventually, we have data about Yoel Roth giving the go-ahead for using a label that says, learn how voting is safe and secure, which is eventually what they have converged toward. Ultimate Truth says there are huge teams of pro-Zionist Wikipedia editors operating from offices in Israel on a round-the-clock, full-time basis. Absolutely. There are agents paid to be the watchers of Wikipedia article to make sure that the hit piece are still mentioned, that the factual information isn't mentioned. It's absolutely crazy. And I was seeing something on social media recently. They have a no-Nazi policy, which goes, general irreverence, do not use these terms or I'm banning you the next time I see them. They have a no-Nazi policy that basically states if someone comes with an opinion being introduced into the encyclopedia, before we get through the is it true, we can ask, is it a Nazi belief? And if it's a Nazi belief, we won't even get to the point where we ask, well, is it true? So basically, if according to this policy, if you introduce something in Wikipedia that says, I don't know, that that's related to Jewish power, is it something that the Nazi believes? Well, yes. Well, then it doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if you can prove it through scientific demonstration. It doesn't matter if you have a study peer-reviewed that says it. It's a Nazi belief. And we have a no-Nazi policy. Unbelievable. All right. So what's happening right now as we are speaking is the release of Twitter Files Part 4. So I haven't consulted it, so let's look at it live. The removal of Donald Trump, the theme of this release, is January 7. As the pressure builds, Twitter executives build the case for a permanent ban. On January 7, senior Twitter execs create justifications to ban Trump, seek a change of policy for Trump alone, distinct from other political leaders, express no concern for the free speech or democracy implications of a ban. This Twitter file is reported with Woodhouse. For those catching up, please see the past Twitter threads, blah, blah, blah. For years, Twitter had resisted calls to ban Trump. Blocking a world leader from Twitter, it wrote in 2018, would hide important info and hamper necessary discussion around their words and actions. But after the events of January 6, the internal and external pressure on Twitter CEO Jack grows. From First Lady Michelle Obama, tech journalist Kara Swisher, the ADL, Chris Sacca, and many others publicly calling on Twitter to permanently ban Trump. Dorsey was on a vacation in French Polynesia the week of January 4 to 8. He phoned into meetings, but also delegated much of the handling of the situation to senior execs Yoel Roth, Twitter global head of Trump, Vijaya Gadde. Oh my God. You can see how this turns. The boss is in French Polynesia. Why the fuck is he there? I don't go to French Polynesia. I live a great life. Of course, he needed to do his little posing for the photographs and, oh, I'm at peace with myself. You know, it's all about communication and humanity. But this photo opportunity was an opportunity for your employees to take control of your company. Never do this. Go away, says Jeff. Did you see the Wikipedia edit war on Sam Bankman-Fried's page after the FTX collapse? His Jewish heritage was removed from the early life section, and then there was heavy debate in the talk section regarding this. Very funny, the info has been restored now. Oh yeah, I didn't see that one. I will go check it out because I love these early life wars. It's amazing to see the leftists try to... And yeah, it happens on every significant event tied to a Jewish person. There's always a big pressure to include the information in the early life, and the Wikipedia bureaucrats are always fighting it. But Wikipedia has been successful at choosing the right side here, choosing the side of, hey, it's a fact, it's been mentioned in the media, and it's true, and we'll include it. So somehow the very leftist Wikipedia hasn't come to the point of hiding those facts, but they come very close every time. Those wars are super intense, and it's always a work for the secretly based, I would guess, secretly based bureaucrats to get it in. Always a freaking war. I'm too old for this, but I used to be the kind of guy who engages in these wars to really get a truth on Wikipedia, but I've stopped believing in Wikipedia eventually. YouTube, and that's why you have these old memes around early life that are made possible by the fact that, yes, Wikipedia has chosen the right path, the path of truth on this. YouTube refugee says, on the one hand, they are desperate to proudly declare their early life and simultaneously cover it up. Absolutely. That is true. Michael Schellenberger. That's the name of the guy, Schellenberger. He says, as context, it's important to understand that Twitter staff and senior execs were overwhelmingly progressive. Blah, blah, blah. Rod tweeted that there were actual... Okay, so he's going on the... Yes, Twitter managers were leftist. On January 7, Jack emails employees saying Twitter needs to remain consistent in its policies, including the right of users to return to Twitter after a temporary suspension. After, Rutt reassures an employee that people who care about this aren't happy with where we are. Jack's email have been fine, but ultimately I think people want to hear from Vijaya or Dell or someone closer to the specifics of this who can reassure them that people who care about this are thinking deeply about these problems and aren't happy with where we are. This is coded language. People who are thinking about this. It's not what he means. He's talking either about high-level Democrats with whom he's in contact or high-level FBI agents with whom he's in contact. This is such a bizarre phrasing. Or someone closer to the specifics of this who can reassure them. So there are people who need reassurance. Wait a minute. Jack Dorsey is your boss. Yoel Rutt, you work under Jack Dorsey. There's no one to reassure but Jack Dorsey. Who are you trying to reassure? Them. That may be FBI agents, it may be the ADL, it may be the Democrat Party, but there's someone pressuring them. There's someone who's them. That people who care about this are thinking deeply about these problems and aren't happy with where we are. He's been told to shut it down. Them, they told him to shut it down. And it is so secret who they are that he has to find three different detours to refer to them. First detour, people who care about this, what a bizarre phrasing, totally unspecific, are thinking deeply about these problems. So, well, of course, if you care about this, you would be thinking deeply about these problems. That's a pleonasm. And they aren't happy with where we are. So, absolute anonymity guaranteed by three layers of hiding. A few engineers have reached out to me directly about it, and I'm chatting with them, but it's so clear they just want to know that someone is doing something about this, and it's not that we're ignoring the issues here. I think there's also an opportunity to help people understand that while it seems obvious and simple that we should permaban his personal account, we can't afford to take that immediate action without first playing the movie out and anticipating all the other things that can happen, and then figure out the plans for those possible scenarios. If we suspend the personal account and he posts the same thing on the official government account, do we suspend that too? People can be forgiven for not thinking beyond the thing that's immediately in front of them, but Jack, Vijaya, Dell, you don't have the luxury of just pulling the trigger without thinking things through. We tell them repeatedly that people are on it, and people are working on it, and they're scratching their heads wondering how hard can it be to decide if this single account is in violation. So here they're talking about the feedback from the leftist employees within Twitter. They're all like, let's do something about Trump. While the captain of the ship is in French Polynesia, vacationing. Yoel Rutt, all enthusiast, sends a message that says, guess what? Jack just approved repeat offender for civic integrity. Directional approach would be something like this. Labels which are severe enough to result in disabled engagements incur strikes. Strike one, label only. Strike 2, label only strike. 3, label plus 12-hour timeout. Strike 4, label plus 7-day timeout. Strike 5, perm suspension. Hey, I never got a strike. Why have I been permanently suspended? I never got a single strike. Where's my strike? Yeah, well, in any way, you can see the enthusiasm at, oh yeah. Oh yeah, with this new system, we're gonna be able to catch Donald Trump. Yeah, guess what? It's happening. It's like it's Christmas for this fucker. Progress, well, child fucker, I don't know. I don't know if he fucks children, but he certainly makes a good argument for it. Progress, does this affect our approach to Trump? Who I think that we publicly said had one remaining strike? Or does the incitement to violence aspect change that calculus? Trump continues to just have his one strike. This is for everything else. So, okay, they've set up a system where they could trap Trump, but it would take a couple of tweets before they get to it. Permanent suspension of real Donald Trump after this whole day of conversation. After close review of recent tweets from the real Donald Trump account and the context around them, specifically how they are being received and interpreted on and off Twitter, we have permanently suspended the account due to the risk of further incitement of violence. So there you go. Jack is in French Polynesia saying... yeah, layered approach with multiple warnings. Sure, yes. He says yes from his phone or whatever. Within 24 hours, Donald Trump is banned because they were counting the tweets. They were like, one tweet, two tweets, three tweets, four tweets, five tweets, six tweets. Yes, we got him banned! The tweets were already tweeted, so... Oh, they tricked basically Jack Dorsey into accepting a progressive approach, but they triggered that progressive approach on a single day, counting a total of seven tweets, and they got Donald Trump banned. On January 8th, Twitter says its ban is based on specifically how Trump's tweets are being received and interpreted. But in 2019, Twitter said it did not attempt to determine all potential interpretations of the content or its intent. So that is it. That is the story of the Twitter Files release 4. It was an honor to read this information live as it was tweeted. What do you guys think? New Guy says, it's nice to see the internet rats finally exposed, their anonymity removed. Oh, wait. I don't know. I don't know what was that joke in relation to, but thanks for your comment. Cloud Warmer says they, them simply refers to the preferred pronouns, right? Maybe it does. It did sound like they were referring to a plural. to a plural number of employees or employees of the FBI or attaché de presse of the Democrat Party. And one thing I didn't comment on yesterday, but is still up there. I mean, I've already covered it live, but there's the Twitter Files Part 2. And this was a whole reveal of the blacklist system, the shadow banning, they had multiple terms. There were multiple categories. Like, they could be slowing down the retweets. They could be totally shutting off any promotion. They could be de-amplifying. They had multiple boxes that they were manipulating the public conversation with. And now with the part 3, we know that it came from the FBI in large part when it came to election integrity. And I can't wait to see the COVID part of all this. Show us the COVID interactions with the government employees. Twitter child porn failures, a crime, according to Elon Musk. And I've already covered this. Elon Musk is suggesting that Yoel Roth with his PhD thesis was too sympathetic to children and teenagers having sex with old adults in the gay community, and that's why he wouldn't have taken action. Elon Musk says it is a crime that they refused to take action on child exploitation for years. Absolutely scandalous. Scandalous, is that how you would pronounce it? Musk confirms political candidates were shadow banned by Twitter. That's also something I've already covered, but Musk says yes to Jens Malchungs, who says, so here's a question for Elon Musk and Barry Weiss. Were any political candidates, either in the US or elsewhere, subject to shadow banning while they were running for office or seeking re-election? Elon Musk answers, yes. Well, that sets it for what I had to say about the Twitter files. In conclusion, yes, there are evil leftist pro-pedo elites who are in high positions at Twitter, who have controlled speech on the internet, and I wouldn't be surprised if what we see here at Twitter is going on still as of today in every other big tech company. It's a huge problem. They are acquiring control. They are first being open platforms. They attract people who lead to their economic success. And then they ally with leftist private organizations, or in this case, the federal government, the leftist deep state agents at the FBI in the federal government, so that they can violate your First Amendment rights. This kind of conspiracy and collusion is absolutely covered under the First Amendment. But if we haven't seen it, if we didn't have it right in front of our eyes, it would sound like a conspiracy. And it's been sounding like a conspiracy for many years. But it's happening. Rodita Sid says, JF, do you think Elon would ever talk about any internal Twitter emails about Canadian politics or truckers' convoy and the War Measure Acts? I think that he may, but I don't think it's going to be his first interest, because he will understand that this will have less penetration in the news. If he was to publish this, it wouldn't have a big impact, because, I mean, I know as a man of the internet, if I put the Canadian flag and the Canada label on any of my thumbnail, that's like half audience reduction already. It's like, there are some people who do not feel concerned about Canada, and you know what? I respect that. I totally get it. If I see a news about Canada that is Canada-themed with the Canada leaf on it, I'm like, okay, this must be some specialized thing that really only concerns a few people, not me. And that's the average internet consumer's reaction to anything labeled Canada. So if I'm Elon Musk, I don't want to base my whole reflection on Twitter files and publications around Canada. That's a losing proposition. Both Canada and the idea of releasing a Twitter file about Canada, both losing propositions. Nabarius says, why is normalizing underage relations so important for some of these woke activists? I understand the general leftist political fight, but this is bizarre. No, it's natural, because the leftist LGBT activist has no way to reproduce, has very little ways to reproduce. I mean, yes, you can be gay and inseminate your lesbian sister or your lesbian sister-in-law. Yeah, sister-in-law. And then have a threesome baby of some kind. But ultimately, the leftist LGBT activist doesn't have much ways to reproduce and cannot talk about sex to a 5, 6, 7 years old. So they really have this window of sex education in public school, which is from like 12 to 18 years old. And it's a very small part of public school. That's their only window to introduce the idea that, hey, maybe you're gay. Hey, maybe you're trans. And that is the only way in which they reproduce, in which they spread in society to get more people subscribing to their LGBT political activism. The heterosexual have the system totally biased for them. I mean, the heterosexuals can only win in the long term. That's the white-pilling news here. It's like the heterosexuals are the default system. And not only this, it's the way to reproduce. So it's the only way you can make new human beings. It's to be heterosexual. So they don't have to spam their teenage children. Because if you pass that window between 12 and 18 years old, if you pass through that window without being thrown onto the LGBT activist path, you're going to be pregnant, or if you're a guy, you're going to get a woman pregnant, and your life will be set in the heterosexual direction forever. And there will be very little cases of people who have had their children and who revert to the homosexual lifestyle, because they will have had everything they need in life. They will not be looking for that kind of sexual excitation. So this is why it is so important for them to extend toward the children. It's because it's their marketing base. It's very hard to convince someone to become gay at 23, 25 years old. They want to catch them when they start being sexually excited, but they haven't yet engaged in sex. Because if you can convince them there, then perhaps you will develop masturbatory fantasies that will drive them toward the LGBT lifestyle. Dino Legovic says, memes, JF. The homosexuals reproduce by memes. Yes, the LGBT community and the activism around it is the closest thing to a selfish gene conception of mimetics. But time will tell if this survives 1,000 years. I would bet it doesn't. Cloud Warmer says, JF, would you comment or do a show on the current situation in Canada with assisted life-ending programs by the government, or is that off-limits? Oh, it's not off-limits. I talk about it very often, but I don't have much to say. I've said many times in the last few shows, I agree philosophically that someone should have the right to suicide, but I take issue with a lot of the pressure and a lot of the uncertainties around will they have really consented, or will they have been pushed in that direction. So whenever the state puts its end is in this subject, it will commit errors and imperfections, and that sucks. Mama JF is here. What's up, Mama JF?
Hey, children, have you tried being a Nazi? Oh. How are you going to know if you never try?
Mama JF said, hey, children, and she started touching her zip here, and I was like, what is she about to do? Is she about to show her boobs and say, do you want some of this?
Oh, my God, no.
No, what Mama JF was... hey, children, are you sure you don't want to be a hetero? So what Mama JF was making the point for is we don't invite people to, hey, maybe you're a Nazi. Have you tried being a Nazi? And yet... they do this for homosexuality, and they will say this for lesbianism, homosexuality, all sorts of LGBT lifestyles. And that poses the question, isn't it possible for human beings to know that they don't want it, to not need to be presented with the opportunity? Like, most people don't feel like Nazis. They wouldn't want to hear about the possibility that they're Nazis, and it's totally fine. So, yes, it's a good example, Mama JF, one that I would have had to delete if we were on YouTube, but I think that Odyssey is a mature enough platform to understand that Mama JF wasn't inviting anyone to Nazism here. She was showing a point about human cognition. Humans can know that they're not something without having experienced it. Go away, says JF. Do you think there is something in our environment apart from homosexual education / media that is leading to higher rates of homosexuality? Are there genes for homosexuality that are only triggered in certain environments, i.e. in affluent and decadent societies? If so, why? I believe that yes. I believe there's more than education and media. I believe there's a set of memes that you shake them together and they create a lot of gayness. Take, for example, the boomer kind of individualistic pursuit conception that was pushed onto our generations. Taken alone, it may not seem like it leads to homosexuality. But if people are pursuing hedonism, and if people don't have a sense of my role in this chain of life is to transmit life to a new generation, to be fruitful and multiply. If the boomer have succeeded at transferring this care for hedonism and all I care about, my son or my daughter, is your well-being. I want you to be happy. That's totally a boomer thing. It's tactical boomerism 101. Now, if you're on that mentality, suddenly the question of sex is not restricted to, well, I need to find a woman so I can reproduce. Let's say that you're a guy. Now the question is, okay, the goal in life is to be happy. And if the goal in life is to be happy, well, I have two options. There's woman sex, which will lead to children, which the media is telling me does not lead to happiness. It's extremely costly to have children. Can I take you for 5 minutes and have you read this article about how costly children are? Or I have gay sex, in which case I will be experiencing the hedonism of sex, and my boomer parent wanted me to be happy, and he didn't tell me that what was important is the transmission of life through heterosexual involvement. So take just a meme like the pursuit of hedonism can lead down to homosexuality, in my view. And there's all sorts of little tweaks and little memes that are circulating in society. Even the unaffordability of houses, and even probably the size of cars, which limits having a big family that you can carry in a car. And even the meme that you can only be happy if you can carry your whole family in a car, if you don't have to leave someone home at every time. All of these memes, they taken together, they all work the homosexuality into society. We Are the West says, but JF, this doesn't explain why the frogs are gay. Well, it doesn't. The frogs are gay because of the chemicals in the water. That's a separate subject. Total Grimm says, heterosexuality creates more carbon emissions, so homosexuality will be mandated. I think that the leftists are kind of getting at there. I know it's a meme, but I think they will basically find an indirect way to do it. I mean, if they start enabling any sort of carbon footprint interfering with reproduction, automatically that would advantage homosexual populations. Absolutely. That is a big problem. The use of baseball bats by women sometimes is absolutely incompetent. Here we have an example of a woman coming with a baseball bat to beat another woman, but she totally fails. You know, a baseball bat can be actually a disadvantage in combat. If you are at close range combat, you have lost a hand. You cannot do anything with the hand that's holding the bat. And yet, in the close range, you won't be able to get a good swing. So very important in martial art combat, and I'm talking about self-defense here, always keep the opponent. If your advantage is that you have a baseball bat and they don't, keep your opponent at a range where the bat is an advantage. Don't get into the range of the opponent. Your first thing on your mind should be keep the range. Second thing should be, how do I protect myself and how do I hit them? But before hitting them, you have to keep the range. Look. Okay, so eventually the father of the woman who won comes in and asks her to stop because she's totally beating the woman on the bottom. But she keeps beating her and she says, I'm gonna keep beating her until she says that I just destroyed her. And the woman on the bottom is being provocative and she's like, are you kidding me? You suck, fuck you. And she keeps beating her on the head. And at some point she's like, will you say it that I beat you? Will you say it? And at some point she's like, okay, you own me. Well, that was an example of what not to do with a bat. And the woman who defended herself against the bat attack, she did exactly the right thing. She just went in range at the right moment, just went super fast. There was no way to stop her. Go away. But what the other one should have done is back out instead of just going loosely with a loose bat. Go away, says JF. The blonde girl reminds me of my ex. She could easily beat me up if she wanted to, no joke. Well, careful, bro, careful. Meanwhile, we learned that Elton John will be leaving Twitter because of potential future disinformation. All my life, I've tried to use music to bring people together, yet it saddens me to see how misinformation is now being used to divide our world. I've decided to no longer use Twitter, given their recent change in policy, and which will allow misinformation to flourish unchecked. And someone did an hilarious meme on Gab. He said, Twitter combats child pornography for 3 days in a row. Next thing you know, Elton John is gone. That is basically what happened. Twitter started going hard on child trafficking and child pornography, and Elton John was totally out. Jack can't deny the truth, he can only gaslight it. Elon Musk was saying it is a crime that they refuse to take action on child exploitation for years. Jack says this is false. Elon Musk says no, it is not. When Ella Irwin, who now runs Trust and Safety, joined Twitter earlier this year, almost no one was working on child safety. She raised this with Ned and Parag, but they rejected her staffing request. I made it top priority immediately. There was a massive problem, it seems, because even internally, the executives were refusing to engage on this. They were like, oh, no, let me, we have to concentrate on Trump and misinformation and attack the right wing, basically, rather than child exploitation. Here we have a video of a hole in the ground. Look at what's in it. A spider.
Holy shit, the spider is looking at us. Ah! That's a gigantic spider.
Is it a spider? My understanding is that this is a gigantic spider of some kind. Look at it. Wow, wow, wow. It's looking at us. Whatever that is. A trapdoor spider, says DK Shadow. Insidious, Madonna, Jimmy Fallon, Gwyneth Paltrow, and other celebs get sued over NFT endorsement. This is so funny because in this bull run, cryptocurrency got so heated that there were these NFTs have totally fallen in price now. Who knows? Will there ever be people wanting to buy these NFTs? I mean, as far as I can tell, you could create new generations of NFTs every bull run and never find a situation in which most of the old NFTs get sold. So it's really a waste of money, but it's a waste of money that you've engaged in voluntarily. So I'm personally against those lawsuits. You bought crap. Okay, Kevin Hart, Madonna, Jimmy Fallon, Justin Bieber, Paris Hilton sold you crap, but you bought it. You bought it, and that's your problem. Papa JF was telling you to buy Bitcoin. You didn't buy Bitcoin. You exchanged your Bitcoin for these ridiculous NFTs. We have two rappers that are engaging in a fight. Apparently, they were appearing on a podcast. In this case, it's a black rapper against a white rapper. Let's see what happened in there.
Niggas better. Niggas really know. It. Nigga, I'm on tracks. Boy, fuck out of here.
I ain't never
nigga.
Seen no bitches.
Who are you?
I'm Lil Kelpie. Who are you? Kelpie, no one knows pimp. You. Kelpie the motherfucking
Kelpie the clown. Fuck
you ain't gotta
here.
Know who I am,
fuck
bro.
Fuck out of here.
Fucking Ben Franklin knows who I am, bitch.
Fuck out of here.
He knows who the fuck I am. I'm getting money
what?
Every day. I said, Ben Franklin knows who the fuck I am, bitch.
Who you calling a bitch, though?
I'm calling you a bitch.
Not a very good effort on the white guy's side. Lil Kelpie, he says that's his name, a motherfucking pimp, but absolutely no ability to protect against basic punches thrown from a very bad position. Overall, bad performance by Lil Kelpie.
What's wrong with you? Don't call me no bitch. You crazy.
Dead Star says, are you blind, JF? Blind to what? Blind to what? You think that the Lil Kelpie did an amazing performance here from a self-defense perspective? Blind to what? And General Irreverence says, slow news day? No. I think that the news was amazing with the Twitter files. I've had much slower news days than this. The reason I'm showing these videos is I had accumulated these videos yesterday too. So I have more accumulated news because I couldn't show them on YouTube. George Floyd killing, former Minneapolis police officer J. Alexander Kuang, sentenced to 3.5 years. I appreciate that the sentence is lower, okay? But as far as I'm concerned, this guy was just standing behind and wasn't involved in any illegal action. So to me, it's baffling that he's guilty of aiding and abetting second degree manslaughter. What is he supposed to do? There's another professional policeman he works with. Maybe he has a different judgment on what must be done, but he expressed some doubts and he also checked the pulse of George Floyd. What is he supposed to do? Yeah, it's guilt by association, really. Like, how is this guy more involved in the death of George Floyd than the police agent who was in another car that day? It's just that he was closer, really. What do we have in the news before we conclude the show? Top EU Parliament officials arrested in huge Qatar link corruption probe. There is so much corruption induced by Qatar. I don't know what's going on. I don't even understand. Maybe it's related to oil or whatever. In any case, Qatar has a lot of money, and they are very strong in developing presence in Europe. And I have never understood why they do this, but they have churches that are dedicated to Qatar. Well, Aerospace says World Cup, JF. No, I mean, what I'm talking about has been happening for the last 20 years. Qatar is opening buildings and building entire little towns sometime in Europe. Frog Eyes says, dude, what a babe. So apparently this one, well, here's her smile. If I want to throw a cold shower on you. Okay, she may seem like she's very beautiful, but look at her smile. That will make you think twice. What else do we have? Oldest known galaxies spotted by James Webb Space Telescope. The proof that galaxies date back to fewer than 400 million years after the Big Bang. They have observed these galaxies with light that was extremely stretched in the infrared direction, indicating that they were older than the others. And Russia is laughing about the US on public TV. I won't play the clip because it's a 2-minute one, but they're basically discussing the release of Britney Griner. And they are mocking the U.S. for accepting a basketball player against a arms dealer. They don't call him a arms dealer, but they totally destroy the U.S. It's like, they're like, this shows you what this country cares for. This country cares for a black, lesbian, or trans, or I don't know, individual. And the reason they don't take the Marines who has served their country is because he's a white heterosexual man. They just say it plain and simple, and that's what's passing on mainstream media in Russia. That's beautiful to look at. Kristen Sinema leaves the Democrat Party. This will be our last news item. So she had been for a while voting totally in line with her own independent beliefs rather than going with the party. So I think it's natural for her to get out of the party. Not particularly important, but that's an officialization of what was already the case, really. Nicholas Petris says, JF, have you seen the non-malicious trolling at the Game Awards a few days ago? Yeah, I've seen it. It's a guy who comes in and says, instead of the team that actually received the award, he comes in and says, I would like to thank, he starts talking for them basically, and he says something about Jews. But the guy is 100% Jewish. You can see it in his air, basically. The guy is so Jewish that okay, he's saying something about Jews, but he's Jewish also. And I'm like, do I cover this as news? Well, it's a Jew talking about Jews, trolling as if he was an anti-Jew, but he's Jewish. And so what am I supposed to say in a news item about this? That Jews talk about Jews? And this is another instance of it. Dead Star says, Jeff, are you aware that America paid Victor tens of millions for his arms dealing services? No, I haven't followed the details of his life. By the way, when you guys told me to watch Lord of War, which was about him, I watched a movie with Nicolas Cage. And apparently there's an HBO series which is much more specifically about Victor Bout, but I didn't watch the HBO series. I watched the Nicolas Cage movie, Lord of War, which, by the way, is a good movie. I had seen it back in the days when I was younger. I was happy to rewatch it. It's a fun movie. It's kind of an anti-capitalist leftist perspective, because it's like, oh, look how evil gun dealers are, and look how capitalism leads to death. But it's interesting. It's one of the best performances of Nicolas Cage. It's kind of close to Thank You for Smoking, in terms of, hey, look at me, I'm an executive, and here's what I do. I liked it. Go Away says, JF, Jordan Peterson tweeted a video where you are mentioned in a pinned comment at the top of the comment section. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to review this before... Jordan Peterson dismantled. That is a video by... I remember this video. It was a big video that was very popular. Oops. It was Resurrection Europa. Resurrection Europa. Okay, so you're saying that I'm in this video somewhere? Like, if I search through the thumbnail... Do you have the timestamp of my appearance in there? Scroll down, you are in the comment. Well, scroll down the video. The first comment in the comment section. Oh, okay. So Resurrection Europa says, I had a conversation about Jordan Peterson in this video with JF Gariepy on the public space. Okay, so you're saying JF, Jordan Peterson tweeted a video. Your name is in the comment section of that video, leading to another video where you interview the maker of this video. Thus, what you are saying is that there's still a chance. Thank you.